One of Father Thomas Saussure's favorite lines, especially when he was talking to me, was, you guessed it, get behind me, Satan. He said that to me a lot, and I can't understand why. I haven't heard it from Father Rich yet. Okay. The resurrection is the center of our faith. The Christians may focus more on, say, the incarnation. Others may center their discipleship on the Beatitudes. These are all important aspects of the life of Christ, but the resurrection is our spiritual center. So what does the resurrection have to do with us? After all, the chances of us being crucified are slim to none. And here is a question that's related, because we can't answer it without considering the resurrection. What does it mean when Jesus says, take up your cross? First, we don't need to look for crosses. They just seem to find us. Whether a catastrophic illness, an accident, a death in your family, a fractured relationship, financial worries, long-term loneliness, trouble in school, or struggles on the job, problems will come. Remember, Jesus didn't court death, nor did he beg for the cross in the garden. The cross eventually came to him. Remember, too, that the cross is not the result of sin. Now, some suffering is the result of bad or immoral decisions, but most suffering isn't. Even the sinless one suffered. Today we are invited by God, as Jesus was, to accept our crosses. This does not mean that we accept things unthinkingly, like a dumb animal laboring under a burden. Nor do statements like, offer it up, my mother's personal favorite, solve the problem of suffering. There's a story of an elderly Catholic nun confined to a wheelchair because of debilitating pain. One day, her religious superior came to visit her. When the sister spoke of the great pain she was enduring, her superior sternly replied, "Sister, think of Jesus on the cross." The elderly nun smiled and looked up and said, "But he was only on the cross for 3 hours." Some advice does more harm than good. So then, what does it mean to accept our crosses? To begin with, it means understanding that suffering is an inevitable part of everyone's life. Accepting our crosses means that at some point, after the shock of frustration or sadness or even rage, we accept that some things just can't be changed. That's why acceptance is not a masochistic stance, but a realistic one. Here is where Christianity parts way with Buddhism, which says that suffering is just an illusion. No, says Jesus from his cross, suffering is part of the human reality. The disciples had a difficult time understanding this. They were looking for a leader who would deliver them from their pain, not one who would endure it himself. But acceptance is what Jesus invites us to today from his cross. Acceptance means not passing along any bitterness that you may feel about your suffering. That doesn't mean you shouldn't talk about it or complain about it or even cry about it with your friends or family. And as always, we are invited to be honest in our prayer to God about our sufferings. Even Jesus poured out his heart to Abba in the garden. But if you're angry, you needn't pass that anger along to others and amplify or magnify their suffering. Having a lousy boss is not a reason to be mean to your family. Struggling through a rotten family life is no excuse for being insensitive to your coworkers. Problems at school does not mean you can be cruel to your parents. Jesus didn't lash out at the people when he was suffering, even when lashed by a whip. This also doesn't mean that you can't share your sufferings with others. For example, the pain and suffering that result from abuse or trauma often need to be shared with others as part of that healing process. And people living with long-term challenges, like raising a child with special needs or caring for an elderly parent, can often find comfort and support from speaking with others in similar situations. Like Jesus, we can allow others to help us carry our cross. Jesus was not too proud to let Simon the Cyrenian come to his aid. If your friends offer to help you, let them. When Jesus speaks about those who lose their life, he's not talking about only physical death. Christians believe that they are promised eternal life if they believe in Jesus and follow his way. We are called to let some parts of our lives die so that other parts may live. Is our desire for money preventing us from being more compassionate? Are we so focused on our own comfort that we do not allow other people's needs to impinge on ours? Maybe things like these need to die. In Christianity, this is called dying to self. What keeps us from being more loving, more free, more mature, more open to following God's will? Can we let those things die? If we do, we will surely find our life, because dying to self means living for God. This week, let us lose ourselves in the life that Jesus has planned for us. Let us desire only what he wants for us and embrace the mystery of a life well lived in and for Christ.